As much as I like to fight everyone, I'm having a pretty good time here. Why you mad? Why you mad? Why you mad?
All right, hey, Luisa.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jake. How are you doing? You caught me by surprise. I was going to clear my throat. Hi.
It's fine.
You like to be real on this podcast. You guys caught me preparing for my fake intro. Anyway, how are you doing, Jake? How's things?
Okay, I got a pretty wild story. Someone is trying to blackmail me.
Dude, was that for real? I thought you were joking when you posted that.
No. Here's what happened, right? Okay, so I've been using the apps like Field, right? Because we talked about. Also, by the way, sorry if you're listening and we've been talking about fucking and shit too much. It's happening. Sorry, it's happening again.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is anybody mad about that? Has anybody told you they don't like it?
Like what? Oh, yeah, no.
Us talking. We got several emails and DMs, actually, to tell you. I know we usually do this for the mailbag, but mostly men, but a couple of women really liked our fucking Patreon and were like, it was a good, honest conversation about intimacy and like how you each see your relationships and sexuality and all that stuff. And it was like, I didn't get any negative feedback. So if anybody out there is mad about it, whatever, bro. Tune into something else, I guess.
No, I don't think anyone's mad about it. I think I was projecting a little bit, but I was mostly joking.
Well, because it's not our usual thing, right? But I think it's related, Jake, because it is a form of self-expression, right? Which is what art is. So you had been on the apps.
Well, I was being a little bit facetious about, you know, I'm joking about, too much information coming again. I was fucking around. This is what this podcast is. Take it or leave it. I don't know, man. I mean, I figured, well, that's the place to be. It seems like, everyone's kind of on this thing. People are getting ready to get out of, you know, the quarantine and stuff. And, you know, I've just been fucking swiping and, like, talking to people here and there and shit and nothing real serious or anything. But last night, after I was, like, done working out, just having a night at home, chilling, someone messaged me, which never happens if you're a guy on these apps. So I should have realized right away something was up. But it was, like, a woman, and she was like, you know, hey, it's late at night, yada, 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 you know, she was kind of texting me kind of horny, right? And she was like, started, you know, kind of asking me, like, do you want to, you know, you want to fuck around? You want to see a picture of me? Do you want to sext or whatever? And, like, now in retrospect, I'm like seeing all these red flags or whatever. But I was just like, yeah, whatever. Your mic is off. You are
sorry,
muted.
No, I was muted. I know. I'm trying to work on not being so interrupty. But question for you about the story that you're telling me. On the profile that this person approached you on, it has like your face on it and you have your real name on it.
Me on mine.
Yeah. You. Yeah.
So it has my face and it also has like the app makes you use, it suggests like use a fake name, but I used like my handle. So it's like very Googleable. That's part of the story.
That's the same thing as putting your name and last name, stupid.
It's like I'm a public person.
I know. And you know that I approve. I am this person, Jake. I am the person that on Field I had my face and my real name and everything except that life, because that's slightly different, I think, you know, because it's more about like performing yourself than it is about like connecting with other people, I guess.
Yeah.
But you see on these profiles, a lot of people, they do faceless pictures, they do fake names, and they do this whole thing, which to me, like, is kind of creepy when people even put on their profiles, like, I'll send face pictures once we match because I have a job that I have to protect. And it's like, materially, I understand that you have a job that you have to protect, but also it's just so, like, impersonal that you're just being like, let me just show you, like, my body parts and, like, see if I want to trust you with my identity. However, as you said, you're very Googleable. So do you think that this person recognized you from the jump and then was like, this is their plan, or it developed?
No, it's complete opposite
to everybody.
I don't think they would have tried to do this if they had known who I was, because like, we'll get to that. But no, I think this person was just like, oh, this is some guy, right?
Okay.
And so, you know, I was just like alone at like sexting with this person and just going through all this stuff. And the thing is, what's weird about this is they were like pretty good at it. Like, they were, they knew all the, like, lingo and shit, and, like, all the fucking, how to pace this. I was like, ah, you know what? And it occurred to me, I was like, ah, I wonder if this person's, like, a scammer. Like, I wonder if this person's bullshitting me. But then I thought about it, and I was like, that's the worst case scenario. And also, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, this is the worst case scenario. It happened, and I don't give a shit. So I was just like, I'm having a pretty good time. I'm going to go through with this.
Yeah.
And so, basically, you know, this fucking person, and now I'm getting what they did is pretty clever. They were like, oh, you can use like a big mirror to send me like a picture, like one in your bathroom. And so I go and I take a picture of my bathroom. And then when they found my Instagram, they were like, because everyone has pictures of themselves in their bathrooms. And they're like, check. So, you know, we send these fucking pictures and it's like, it's pretty tame, but we did some like fucking weird BDSM shit. And like, they were like, write slut on your chest in like a Sharpie or whatever. I was like, oh yeah, the slut. You know, and like, I don't know, it's just all this, you know, it's just kind of fucking, you know, pretty tame compared to what I've already been doxed for, like shit.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing this and I'm like, well, that was pretty fun. And then this person's like, this is great. Let's do it again. You know, let's talk tomorrow. And I guess their big like psychological thing is that they're like, you know, they go, I'm going to bed or I'm going to take a shower. Good night. And then they leave and then they come back and they're like, surprise, I'm not going to bed and I'm not taking a shower. They said, how do you feel about exposure? I guess they use this word. And I was like, what does that mean? They mean like, they were like, you know, exposing you to your friends and family on social media. And I was like, oh, you mean like as like a control? Like, I still thought this person was like just like trying to do some weird,
do some BDSM shit.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was like, no, that's gross. Like, don't fucking drag people into this. And then they slowly like ripped the mask off and they were like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And you have to pay me and all this shit. And I just went like, oh, I mean, I don't care. Like,
no, you got the wrong person, buddy. Yeah. I was like, but it sounds then like this person does this often, right? Because it sounds like they set it up, you know, to ask you specifically for a picture in your bathroom. And
that's
really fucking scary for me. Like,
that's what I was thinking when I told him that. I was like, wow, okay, this is a pretty good scam. I see how this would work, but you got like 100% the wrong person because like I do not give a shit and I've already, this has already happened to me. So like, it does not even gonna freak out my friends because they're like, what they did is...
it hasn't happened to me, but I don't think I would pay either. What do I care?
No, I don't give a shit.
Slightly embarrassed.
Right, it's like, a little annoying.
Yeah.
So then it's like a guy. Like he like fucking flipped it and he showed me like who he really was or something. You couldn't really see his face, but he's like, ah, I'm some fucking crazy guy or whatever. And he was like, he showed me my own Instagram and he was like, look, I'm gonna DM all your friends. And I was like, go nuts. They've all seen my dick already. Like, I don't care. And so then I kind of thought that might be that. But then people started like texting me like, oh, hey, you know, this guy, something crazy is going on. This guy's like fucking leaking your news. And I was like, I told him I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And he kept saying like, you know, I'm gonna fucking hurt your career. And I was like, you have no idea, dude.
Like, that's fun.
This is my career. Like, this is so funny. And so he asked me to send him like $500 on like Venmo or some shit. And I was like, suck my dick. But then afterwards, when I realized, like, okay, this guy is, all he's doing is just like leaking nudes that people have already seen, you know, of me to people. Something really funny occurred to me, so I started fucking with him a little bit. I started going back on him and going like, you know...
Of course he did. I'm sorry. This is so funny because this is like you're trying to catfish like an innocent person that's trying to like explore their wild side. And you get Jake Flores, professional comedian, who has already been doxxed for his fucking horny shit. And then he's just like, oh, you think you're going to fucking annoy me? I'm going to annoy you, dude.
Yeah.
You should never stop messaging this dude.
Dude, I know. I started telling him, like, hey, you remember when you were sexting with me? You were, like, really good at that. Are you sure that we're not gay? I think we are, you know? Like, trying to get him to keep doing it, you know?
That is so funny, dude. You should totally keep sending him pictures of your dick.
I know.
Just for, like, a week, every day, one new picture of your dick until he's like, yo, can you stop sending me pictures?
Yeah. Because the thing is, this doesn't work when the person doesn't have, like, certain things in place. Like, okay, so, for example, like you were saying, the reasons that people are kind of weird and protected on, like, apps like this is because they have, like, families, jobs. I kept telling them, like, what do you think? I'm, like, a senator? I don't give a fuck. Like, a comedian. Like, this is so fun. Advertising for me, you know? And, and so... Yeah, but I was thinking about that, and I was like, what's really funny about this is that, you know what? This probably would have worked if this had not happened to me before, because it, like, I still had some vestiges, you know, 6 months ago or whatever, of, like, ugh, like, this kind of weird, like, normalcy I was trying to cling to, but there's, like, this superpower you have when you're, like, I always get exposed. Jealous of, like, porn stars, kind of, because they're, like, shameless. Like, they're, like, living in this reality that no one else is, where they're, like, it does not matter. Like, you do, and it feels the same as when you're a comedian, kind of, when the first time you do comedy, and you're, like, everyone's terrified to do this thing, and you don't die at the end. Like, nothing happens. It's normal. You're fine. So there's this, like, I feel pretty good, because I'm, like, now I've got this, like, double, like, kind of covalent shell going on around me, where it's just, like, impossible, really, to break through it. I can't even imagine, you know, what would bother me at this point. And, like, but it's interesting, though, that it works, because for a lot of people this is like nightmare scenario shit, and it would just be the worst thing of all time, and it's just absurd that normal shit like that everyone fucking does. I see people on these apps, I see my friends on them and shit. I know you're all fucking
and they don't put that they're comedians. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
they like will put some other shit writer. cute I don't know if this is a good place to interject, but you made me realize, like, a connection to something we've talked about before, one of my fucking obsession things of, like, you know, the anti-Finsta shit I have. Because one of the things is that, right? If you live your life in this way where you compartmentalize all of the parts of yourself, then all of your comfort and power is in keeping those compartments separate. So then when a person comes and is like, I can threaten your compartmentalization by exposing one side to the other, A, you're giving people a lot of power over you, and B, I think it often leads to, like, feeling like you're in love with this person who saw two sides of you, you know what I mean? Like, you, like, if they saw them and they didn't judge you, then you fucking are like, oh, this is the only person who will ever understand me. So I just think that, like, compartmentalizing is actually, like, it's a coping mechanism. It's not a well way to live your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, the path of being, like, I think this has some overlap with being, like, an artist or something, is, like, being a really actualized person who is, like, I'm an open book. The whole point of this is that I'm an open book, and that I'm, like, sharing experiences because it's, like, you know, interesting, and it makes us connected and stuff like that. So, like... But let me talk about people that aren't here yet, because this is another thing that's kind of happened to me this week, is I'm dealing with people, and I'm starting to realize that, like, it's fucking... This freaks people out, and it, like, causes them to go into crisis knowing that it's happening to somebody else. So, like, this other thing happened where I was tweeting some angry shit at somebody, like, a week ago, and this guy, you know, just a run-of-the-mill reply guy to me, he starts tweeting at me, like, why don't you go eat cum, you fucking whatever, and, like, you cum eater, and all this shit, and this fucking... Something incredible happened after this, which is just this woman who I'm, like, I guess MUFOs with, she DM'd me and she was like, dude, that guy that's tweeting at you, I swear to God, that guy paid me, like, a shit ton of money to dominate him, like, a bunch of times.
And people, like, are so stupid.
It's crazy. And she was like, dude, no, I'm serious. Like, she's like, showed me, she went through the app that she met him on, and she was like, hey, I see you on Twitter. Like, stop tweeting at Jake Flores. And the guy's like, you know, no, shut up, you know, and she's like, dude, you eat cum, like, I made you do that, and he's like, no, and she's, like, in the chat, she's like, I've got video evidence of this, and I'm, like, watching this, and I asked her, like, oh, man, can I, like, make fun of this guy for this, because I really want to, and she was like, you know.
That's bad dom ethics, I was gonna say,
yeah,
she can't let you do it.
I'm not gonna name anyone who's involved or whatever, but, like, so that's why I'm telling you this completely, just anonymously, and it's like, also, it would bring shit down on her, and, like, also, honestly, on some level, I feel for the guy, because he's clearly in pain, you know, and... So I was just thinking about that, and I was like, this is insane. Like, usually I don't believe this thing where, like, oh, if Republicans are homophobic, it's because they're actually gay or whatever. But there's, like, a lot of my experience is kind of, like, showing me that there is, like, a lot of truth to this, like, Freudian projection thing, right? So the other thing that happened this week is I got too drunk, and I tweeted some mean shit about fucking some podcaster that I don't like. And in the middle of the night...
Wait, before you switch to that, hold on. Podcasters you don't like, because I was going to say something. And actually, this might be related to podcasters you don't like. Because I... very quickly.
Go ahead.
I saw this week that's a comic who I really think is amongst the worst comics I've ever seen in my entire life. And Jake, you know I have seen hundreds, if not thousands of comics.
Yeah.
Right?
Your mic is a little low, by the way.
Oh, sorry. I lowered it because I thought I was yelling before.
No, no, no. You're too low.
Sorry. It's going to be like all over the place, this recording, because of all of my manias.
You're good now.
Okay. So I just like happened to notice, because of other internet shit that is happening, which we'll probably touch on later, this person was retweeted into my timeline, and I clicked on their profile, and I noticed that they have over 100,000 followers, and I was like I lost it laughing. It's literally the only time he's ever made me laugh, because holy shit, that is so hilarious. And the fact that there's a bunch of us going around like measuring ourselves by how many followers you have and shit, and it's like, this guy sucks. He sucks so bad. He sucks at everything. And so one of the things is like, he is a podcaster that I personally hate and that is a bit of a trad, right?
Okay.
And there is something about his lifestyle that I really, really hate. And I mean, whatever, I'll just say it, I guess. But it's the fact that he met at one point a young woman comic who was just starting out. So you're going to know who I'm talking about, but don't say it, because I'm not even trying to start shit. It's just the example of the situation.
Yeah.
And he met her while she was an intern at a big podcast and was trying to, she was doing open mics and she was trying to be a comic. You know what I mean? And they hooked up, and within like a year, I want to say, he proposed to her. From the outside, it looks like he made her quit comedy. She quit the podcast that she was working for, erased all her social media, made new accounts that were all private, already has a kid with him, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know, to everyone, their own choices and all this shit, but like,
oh, it's depressing as hell.
It's depressing as hell. Right. Right. Yeah. And then just like, oh, I fucking hate it. And it has always rubbed me the wrong way. But as you bring this up and we're talking about this compartmentalization shit.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of those people that I think we're both thinking about do hate us in part because of that, subconsciously.
Yeah.
Because we don't compartmentalize the things that they do, and that feels threatening, or it feels to them like they are weaker, because it is possible to live in a way where nobody has the power to say to another side of your life, oh, you don't know this about them. You know, it's like, no. Literally, it's all out there. My mom knows. Everybody knows. You know, like, I don't know what to tell you. And so it is, I think it's rooted in like a trad kind of thing, which I know this is like my third episode hating on trad people, but I'm dating again. It's a fucking problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These people out here oppress me. I don't know how else to say it. And I do think it's that, because they are so set on like living their life through a kind of tried and true path. And when you encounter people who make you feel dumb for trying that path without ever taking a risk in the other direction, you know?
Yeah.
That can feel belittling. And I mean it is in this way of like having conversations with my mom, Jake, where when I had to explain stuff to her about like why I wouldn't want to have kids or get married or why I'm poly, like stuff like that. At first, she took it very much like I was judging her choices. And like I was saying, I am smarter and better than you, and I will do things better because I think I'm better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after a certain amount of conversations and both of us actually listening to each other, I think I've told you before, she just one day was just like, I just never realized that I could live my way, my life differently. And you're living your life in this way that I never realized was a possibility. And I'm so proud of you. So that's why people are like, you have a good relationship with your mom. I'm like, yeah, dude, but it took a lot of fucking fucked up conversation. Like, it took a lot of me being like, this is who I am. Yes, I've been to a sex party. You know, like, all kinds of, like, throw it out there. Yeah, I'm a communist. Yeah, you know, like, having these, like, get in a fight, disagree with me, feel disappointed, and then see 5 years later, I'm still that person, and start to see what the good sides of those things are.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, and I think that ultimately is like, you know, your mom loves you, so she has to deal with the fact that you're an annoying poly communist. psycho. But these other people in our work life, for example, they're just like, no, I think they just feel like a subconscious threat.
I think it's really like that, because so what happened with me, and it kind of got me around exactly what you're talking about, is so I was talking some shit in the middle of the night, and I woke up and I was like, oh no, drunk me laid a trap or it's over me. And you know, I still believe what I said, which is that I fucking hate some guy that harasses me online all the time, but I did stir up his fans. And so then what happened is that I was on Facebook and I was in a group for the podcast that I was making fun of. Somebody added me to it. You know, you can add people and shit on Facebook. So they didn't know I was in there and they were making fun of me in it. And I just went like, boo. Like I just went surprise, you know, I'm in here or whatever. And all these people started fucking with me. And, you know, I was just hungover and I was just like fucking making fun of them or whatever and talking through it. And so what I did was, and also all these people started fucking posting my nudes at me and shit, my fucking porn and crap. And they were like, you know, you fuck you. They're doing jokes from the podcast. People are so unoriginal, you know? And so then I was like, okay, well, I went on Twitter and I fucking took a bunch of the pictures of the guys who were fucking with me. And because they all look the same. They're all these like Brooklyn, like, you know, they do the soy face and they look like they're in the DSA and shit. And they're just like little wiener guys. And it's funny. They all look like they listen to The National and, you know, all the white guy stereotypes.
I can picture them already.
Yeah. And so I'm posting and I was like, oh, whoops, I got drunk last night and I made fun of X so-and-so. And now I have a million guys that will look like this up my ass or whatever. And that was just kind of the joke, right? Well, then, and this is after hours of these people just fucking railing on me and just trying to fucking get me to hate myself. I got banned from the group, or I got like temporarily blocked. And the administrator, when they said like you're kicked out of the group for a day or whatever, they said, hey man, this is inappropriate. You can't go sharing people's profile pictures on Twitter. And I was like,
no, they didn't.
Oh, okay. Do you not like having your
same people who shared your shit?
Yes,
before?
It's the same group. Or I mean, it's the same like thing, you know what I mean? And like, and they did it in the thread, in the like, again, while they were fucking with me. So I was like, oh, this is, you don't like having your privacy invaded? Like, wow, imagine that. What do you think you're fucking doing? And it was incredibly like hypocritical, but it was also really funny because they were all like, oh, you know, I don't actually care. And then so clearly somebody got really mad that I put their face on fucking Twitter or whatever. And it just went back. But some guy, here's all this is culminating towards. I have a kind of a grand theory of this now. A guy DM'd me and he was like, ugh, like, hey man, I'm sorry they're making fun of you. You know, I like you fine, but like you, you please log off. And it's, people always say this, oh, just please, you know, for your own sake or whatever. And I was sitting here and I was like looking at all this shit. I'm just like hung over, dicking around, playing video games and stuff. And I realized what was happening. I was like, you don't know me. We're not friends. You are not reaching out of some sort of like selfless empathy because you're worried about what I'm going through. This bothers you because it reminds you of yourself and it makes you uncomfortable because it makes you put all this stuff into perspective and imagine what if it happened to you. You clearly could be the person that this is happening to because you have inconsistencies in your personal life and stuff.
It also makes them have to think about whether they think somebody that they look up to is a bad guy.
Yeah, all of this stuff. And I told this guy that, and he was like, huh, and he kind of just left, and I don't know if he really got it or not. And I don't think it's possible to really get it when you're addicted to a forum like that, because it's an echo chamber where you and your friends sort of like commit this self-hatred ritual and this weird projection and stuff. And like, I've been watching a lot of documentaries about like 4chan and 8chan and stuff like that. It really seems like it's a lot of self-hatred, and so the way to deal with it is to like pull people down in the pit like that. But if you like yourself, you cannot be pulled down into the pit. Like, it doesn't fucking matter, you know? It's really weird. So that was kind of just my week online, and it was a weird one because all three of those things happened. But honestly, coming out the back end of it, like, I feel like I got a superpower now. I feel like Dr. Manhattan or something. Like, I'm just like, no, none of this stuff matters.
You should fucking quit Facebook, though, for sure.
Facebook sucks.
Facebook sucks, and it's bad for the earth. I mean, Instagram is related to it, so I know it's not like I'm fully out, but Instagram feels more innocuous. It's just, like, whatever, stupid pictures, who cares? But Facebook is, like, full-on bad, and also all these groups, I'm like, okay, I hear a lot of hilarious stories out of these Facebook groups, but they're all like, holy shit, you shouldn't even be getting that notification. Like, you shouldn't even be seeing this. I don't want to know what's going on in Reddit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want out there. I don't give a shit. I had my one moment of mad. Well, yeah, I've been doing okay. You know, I'm, man, I can't believe it. To give you my working out update, I fucking am still riding 10 miles a day on my bike in the morning before I work.
Ooh, damn, nice.
Crazy. Yeah, I skip like one day a week usually. And, you know, very productive, but I've been like really busy this week. I had to hire people and train people, and I was finalizing the stuff for my new show, which, oh my gosh, is going to be only like twice a month. So it's 10 spots a month, Jake. And I've already been offered like three other shows, and it is really, really tempting to be like, yeah, I'll fucking help you because I like the comics that are working on them. The more spots that I have available, the more comics I can help get spots. You know what I mean? But right away, you see that slippery slope of like, oh, holy shit, then my whole life is going to be like answering emails and moving people from show to show and fucking, did you do the promo? And shoot me in the face right now. So I am very much committed to like one show twice a month. The venue even is like, oh, but if it goes well, you'll do it weekly. I'm like, we'll see. I'm like, let's keep it at twice a month. Yeah. Let me enjoy my life. And then I've been dating also. So, like, things have been pretty chill, and I have actually not been online that much, right? But then a few days ago, and this is terrible because, like, in the context of everything that's going on in the world, even horrible personal experiences on the internet like yours, I signed on one day on Twitter, and I see that there's this, like, article trending. Not The Intercept. It's, which one's, like, the British one that starts with an I?
Oh,
Independent? The Independent?
Maybe.
Maybe. It's, like, a shitty British fucking thing. But they had an article that was, like, doing the rounds because it was about how, because people have been working from home after this whole year of the pandemic, doctors and scientists say that it's okay to shower less. What? Jake, I got furious. Okay, so listen.
CDC announced.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? In the middle of a pandemic, you're gonna tell people to stop showering? Are you fucking crazy? This is irresponsible journalism and science and medicine. What are people doing? Because here's the thing, like, I would like to say I trust all humans to understand that, like, if you're going outside less, if you're doing less exertion, you know, you're sweating less. Yeah, so you don't have to wash as much, right? You should be able to make that judgment call that you can wash less. But as it stands, people don't seem really good at that judgment call. There's a bunch of people who don't clean enough. Yeah. And you're going to fucking write an article about how, like, now that they're working from home, they can clean themselves less? Are you crazy?
Well, also, like, who is looking to the CDC to regulate how many showers they take a week? That wasn't happening to begin with.
It's just another example of media really just poisoning humanity. Because, you know what? Why don't you write another article about washing hands or, like, wearing condoms? I don't know. There's other things that you could do about cleanliness that don't include encouraging people not to shower. But that was my brief moment of the corners of the internet.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't take showers because I'm worried about spreading germs. I take because I you feel good. Like, you feel gross, right? After a couple days.
Dude, I showered too much.
I took a shower last night after that guy made me come. The funniest thing about this is that I was like, oh, a guy made me come.
Yeah, but he did such a good job. Dude, you know what it reminds me of? Tell him that and send him some dick pics.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna. Do you know what it reminds me of? Is that, you ever see that Black Mirror episode about
the friend playing on the video game? Yes. Because he's like telling himself that he's catfishing dudes for the money.
Yeah, no, he loves it, man.
And he likes getting these suckers, you know? But it's like, no, he likes knowing he made some dudes come on the internet. Yeah. Hilarious.
I want him to be himself, man. Because clearly he's good at it.
Let's have him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Be like, dude, what's going on?
Oh, man. Try to get $500 out of me. Suck my dick.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you're doing it anyway, because I still cannot fathom dating a stranger right now. I have not gone on a date or had sex with a stranger in like close to 2 years at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Before the pandemic?
Yeah, I think before the pandemic, I mean, I had like a regular partner. And then we broke up. And then I also, yeah, and then everybody who I hit up during the pandemic was like a previous partner slash friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then people that I'm dating now, friends.
Well, that's an interesting, like, kind of angle to throw at this, the whole thing we're talking about, though, because, like,
yeah,
on the one hand, I like, online dating, because it's, like, isolated, everything's isolated, and if something doesn't work, it's fine, and I get really stressed out with dating friends and stuff like that, because if something goes wrong, then you have this whole, like, oh, I can't go to this party, and they can't, or whatever.
I completely agree. No, I completely agree, and it's why the majority of my dating years have been that, have been dating strangers on it's, but we have to admit that that's, like, control and intimacy issues, right?
I think like, so, you know.
And it's us trying to compartmentalize, Jake.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because I like the idea of online dating, but I don't actually do it that much. I've, honestly, most of the people I've gotten into, like, relationships with have been people that I kind of knew through, you know, some sort of semblance of like my actual life or whatever, and I think it's
totally,
there might be a case to be made that it's like more genuine, and it when you compartmentalize like that,
yeah,
I think you can find.
Yeah, no,
a stranger.
I agree with you. I thought you were going to say with friends. I agree.
No,
with
I
you.
Think,
I think there's something more genuine to the stranger.
I think you can find a stranger, but then you just have to incorporate them into your friends. Like it's you can't keep like. You can't keep things separate like that and still kind of be, like, you know, fluid and consistent in who you are, I think.
I know, but you know what? I think that I was compartmentalizing for a really long time, my sexual stuff, you know, like with all the exploration with the sex parties and fet life and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And dating. And
that stuff is definitively compartmentalized, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then it was partially because of concern of, like, you know, my whole world was comedy and... I don't know if I ever told you, but like, you know, I think at like my hottest and shit, I was like posting like sexy pictures on Instagram, you know what I mean? And yeah. I had a comic who is currently a head writer on a TV show who is younger than me, Jake. And this motherfucker had the balls to text me and be like, do you really think that you should be posting this kind of picture on Instagram? And I was like, what? Are you my dad? Like, why are you trying to regulate what I should be posting?
Yeah.
Like, well,
he's telling you,
don't you
should
think
compartmentalize.
Exactly. And then he was like, well, don't you think that people like won't take you seriously in comedy? And I was like, dude, if you don't take my opinion in comedy seriously, that's fine. That's your thing. But like, if you dismiss it because you saw my butt on the internet, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot. You know?
Oh, you're...
So I really don't give a shit. And like I said, my money doesn't depend on this. The people's opinion of me doesn't define me. So like, I don't fucking understand. Well, why you're like this. But now, I guess through this year of thinking in the pandemic, I do think that what I did was I compartmentalized all of that, like my romantic and sexual life outside of comedy, because I did have some times where I would bring a partner to comedy and it doesn't work, Jake. Like you can't really meet a stranger from outside the world. And I think maybe it's easier for men if you're dating women, if you bring a woman, because women are already socialized to kind of like adapt to... My partner has a boss and a workplace, and I know that I have to go there sometimes and, like, smile and look pretty and tell jokes that make him look good. You know what I mean? But men have never had that socialization. So I have had multiple times where I've had a man that, like, we have a great time. We really like each other. So then I'm like, oh, well, let me bring you to my work, right? And I bring them to a comedy show. And their experience is that people come up to us and immediately they're like, oh, my God, hi, Luisa, how are you doing? And then it turned to him, oh, are you a comic? Have we met? And then immediately the guy, and he could be like a doctor, you know, like whoever he is. And he's like, no, I'm not a comedian. I'm a lawyer, whatever it is. And the comics every time just go, oh, okay, cool. So anyway, Luisa, did you go to, you know, and they just like turn away from him and completely dismiss him. And so they have this experience of being like my arm candy and like nobody wants to hear you.
Yeah.
And like, you're not a part of this. And then the worst times is when they try to be funny. And they try to be like, look, I'm as funny as these professional comedians you're hanging out with. You know, and I'm like, don't try, dude. Like, no, I like you. You don't have to be this. If you know, like, it's so fucked up. So then I would tell you, I have only one dude that I dated that I brought to comedy shows that I'm still friends with. He listens to this podcast. Hi, Brady. Shout out. Yeah. This motherfucker actually had the balls to text me. This is me complaining about you on the podcast. So you'll enjoy this. He texted me like a month ago and he was like, hey, do you know what word you say a lot? And I was like, what? What the fuck is this? And he's like, yeah, I've been listening to the podcast. There's one word that you say a lot. And I was like, okay, well, what is it? He said that I say reify a lot.
Reify is a good word, though.
It's a good word, right? This motherfucker. Yeah.
That's not a thing. I guess you can call somebody out for using a $10 word, but I was going to say, if I was to do a Louisa impression after having done this podcast with you for so long, it would be, do you understand?
You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
exactly. But I bring him up to say, like, he was the exception in that he was a comedy fan. Oh, that's the other thing. If they're comedy fans, then they're fucking annoying. And they're like fanboying out when you bring them around. And Brady was an example of a guy. Sorry to like throw out your name, dude. We're here now. But who is both a fan. So he like respects my world and the things I do. But then also is secure in who he is and had no problem being around and, you know, being like cool with just like, yeah, I'll go to shows with you and do stuff like that. So it was. He was one of the people that showed me an example of how like decompartmentalizing this could work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so since the pandemic and stuff, not directly because of Brady, don't get your head all fucking blown up. I have more been seeing friends and shit, but it is more difficult for me because like you said, there's more risks involved in a way where I hadn't risked this in a way before of like messing up friendships because you took it to another level of like, how do you like tell other friends that you're seeing this one friend? Like, it's fucking weird. And like, what happens if you break up and you don't like each other anymore? And
yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of confidence. Like you really put yourself out there when you're like, you know, involved in the dynamics of your own friend group in that way, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, sorry to be a fucking pain in everyone's ass, but I'm involved in this situation. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about that that TV writer that DM'd you that thing about posting your ass on Twitter or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this is something I've been going through a lot. Is I think I don't like the culture of comedians. I like being a comedian, but like that guy is caping on behalf of the patriarchal thing that totally. Works to his advantage. And mm-hmm. with these people that are like so like bothered by the fact that I'm a fucking freak, I was thinking about that a lot. And I'm like, you know, okay, so when you take these like Republicans who are actually gay, but they are in denial about it, the way that they like explain it away is that like they say like, oh, what you're doing is perverted. What you're doing is excessive and deranged. And like, it's if you watch too much pornography, you eventually become gay. And it's like you listen to someone say that and you're like, no, if you watched... You are gay. Like, what you're saying is if you think too much down one rabbit hole that's already in your head, it ends at sucking a guy's dick. So that freaks you out. So what you're doing is hiding in this, like, artificial normalcy that is protecting you, that is set up by people who aren't even like you. But it protects everyone involved and makes them feel safe from this thing that you're seeing me go through, which you're imagining is the worst thing in the world.
Worst case scenario, yeah.
And I've been thinking about this a lot because, honestly, like, I also got owned on Twitter for tweeting about this because... You know, I was just kind of freewheeling or whatever. But I was thinking about when I went back down to Texas, I had this big existential fucking slingshot thing happen to me where my mom almost died and I got freaked out and then she didn't. And then I just went to Austin with this, like, I was really thinking big picture about everything. And I went and I saw a bunch of my old friends and I was like, this is fun, but I know why I left. Because I came of age in Austin and was like, you know, 21 when I started doing comedy and then like built all my friends out of comedy. And I was like, ah, you know what? These people are honestly, they don't even understand it, but they have like kind of some low key conservative values. And I wanted to go to Austin to fucking somewhere where I could be poly and be a fucking sex freak and all this shit. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, New York, right. That sounds great. So I came up here, but then honestly, I think part of the reason that I've been like so kind of uncomfortable and like kind of bummed out in the last couple of years or whatever is that a lot of my friends I got from doing stand-up here, and there, it's just like, it's everyone's working inside of that fucking system. It's all very patriarchal and stuff, and it's all very, like, it's not very genuine, and it's not conducive to the outside. And, like, it's no coincidence that all these fans that are fucking up my ass all the time, that are, like, angry that I'm like this, are, like, comedy fans, I don't think. And I was, this really hit me like a ton of bricks because, I went to this punk show last week, and we got in trouble for going to the show. So what happened is,
who's we and how, but with what authority?
Everyone. Okay, so there was like a hardcore show. So
right, I heard.
Yeah, and if you know anything about New York hardcore, like, you know, that bar Niagara that we do comedy at, that's like an old, like all these legendary hardcore bands used to play there. But the thing about hardcore is that it's punk, but it's also very conservative. Like, it's like, it's, the guys are basically cops. It's weird. They're all like meatheads. And my favorite thing in the world is hardcore speeches, because the guys can't really seem to square. They're like, we're all one community, but also, if I see you wearing a popped collar, I'll fucking kill you. And it's just like, they go in circles. It doesn't make any sense. It's a contradictory art form. So we went out there. It's in Tompkins Square Park, and they said it was to raise money for some cause. And it turns out it was a lie, and they just wanted to have a show. And when the guy came out to, like, sing and do his hardcore speech, it was weird, because he was like, welcome to the super spreader event, fuck you, Dr. Fauci, and he was like an anti-masker, right? And so then everyone who went to this show just to hang out is now in trouble, because it looks like we supported an anti-masker event. Only reason I'm telling you this whole story is because I went and I hung out with fucking punks, and I, whenever I do that, I'm like, oh, right, this is who I belong with, because the entire... like thing, the entire social system is oriented there toward, like, to where all this stuff that I'm is freaking people out about me is not in conflict. It's like good, it's cool, it's a safe area, and there's lots of queer people and trans people and non-binary, and just like, it's, no one's questioning, and it's like there's a reason that subcultures like promote themselves and exist, and it's in direct reaction to, you know, what is, like, honestly, a very trad world, the world of comedians. They're all, like, you know, little capitalists, and they do stuff, like you're saying. Like, this one guy, you know, is turning his wife into his fucking coworker into his wife and all this stuff.
Totally. No, and I told you about,
the reason I brought that up is because I think that, like, that's the way to square the circle. That's the way to solve the problem, is you, instead of compartmentalizing, you have to, like, be in an ecosystem that you just like, because then you won't feel that weird if you break up with somebody or whatever, because it's not like, I don't know, that's maybe where I got, I don't know, go ahead.
No, I everything that I had to say is in support of your points, actually, because it's actually, I again just want to bring it back to something that maybe, like, we talked about in a very early podcast, but it's a thing that I've had a theory about for a long time, about why comedy, which from the outside looks like such a, like, renegade art form, right? Like, every parent is disappointed that you want to be a comedian. Women don't think this is a viable, possible husband and father, you know? Everything in society really frames comedian, like, oh, you're the bad boys of art, you're the truth tellers, like, all the shit frames it as, like, a very glamorous fucking thing. But internally, as you just noted in so many ways, the other example that I had was a comic that we talked about earlier, whatever, not today, but in another episode, his wife at one show, like, came up to me, and she was like another woman in comedy came up to me and said hello to me while I was standing with this comic's wife, right? I say hello to her, so then she, like, leaves, and then the comic's wife turns to me and goes, did you know that she has an OnlyFans? Like that. And I was like, oh, does she? Yeah, no, I didn't know. And then she's like, I mean, what do you think of that? It just seems like so inappropriate to me. Like, if you want to be respected in comedy, why would you have, like, male comics paying $5 to see your tits? Like, a full-on 5-minute spiel on why she was never going to succeed in comedy, how, you know, like, how are people going to respect you? Like, dude, what? What?
Can't you, like, see that you are the one in a cage?
Yeah, like, man. I'm like, okay. So then I was just like, well, you know, I think it's fine. You know, like, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's fine. And it's her body and it's work. And she should get paid instead of giving out her titties for free. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
yeah.
It's fine. I don't know what to tell you. But all this to say, this thing that I've talked to you about before, which is my longstanding theory that I do think that internally, you and I have seen now, and I think other people have seen, how traditional and how, like, upholding of status quo so many things in comedy and so many people in comedy are. And I really think that it's because of this, like, compensation for the instability that your career choice provides you.
Yeah.
So because you are taking every single risk in the financial and creative sense and in the self-realization sense career-wise, a lot of you seek comfort and tradition in the romantic / personal sphere. And you go as traditional as possible in those areas. in this way to like offset all of the danger that you bring to yourself by living a life on the road, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I understand the impulse to find that safety and security, but it's the same thing as people who are really like deep down inside poly and force themselves to be monogamous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you think that it's comfort, but it's actually stifling your ability to self-realize.
No, it's sad to see someone like that, because you can see the person inside of them. It's like, who wants to be happy? It's, excuse me. Did you ever see that movie Milk, about Harvey Milk?
Mm-hmm.
There's that great scene where the guy that kills him is like, he tries to go to like a party and hang out with him, but he's just like sweating and stuff. And he's just like, I can't do it, you know? And it's like, he clearly is just looking through like a glass pane and just seeing like what it's like on the other side, you know? And it's just, he just can't fucking do it, but you can do it. Although, can you? I mean, sometimes I think about this stuff and I'm like, could everyone just live like us? Could everyone just make that decision? Or are we like benefiting from having all these other people that are like marrying off and doing all that bullshit?
I mean, I don't think everyone can. I don't even think that we can, Jake. I don't even think that ultimately we can say this is successful. What is truly the thing is that it has been very rare up to now. You know, like it continues to be rare historically to try to live outside of the norm.
Yeah.
And I completely understand why people don't feel that that risk is worth it, but I don't understand why they hate those of us who are willing to take that risk. Like, why wouldn't you want to see the possibility of a whole other way of living opened up?
I think for me, like, honestly, part of the reason that I choose to live the way I do is because I'm aware that, like, society is, like, if they're going to pay me like a queer person, I'm going to live like one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you want me to procreate and have kids and shit, you gotta raise those minimum wages and stuff, because there's no way that shit's happening.
Me health insurance, education, daycare. Yeah, there's like a lot of shit you gotta give me to make me fucking make more little capitalists.
Yeah, I'm not losing my own ass on that project. It has to be a state project.
That's what's crazy. It's like they look at me, for example, because it's weird. Because have you heard that debate about how like, or I don't know if it's a debate, but it's like basically like queer people being like, oh, if you're poly, it doesn't mean you're queer. You know, like I guess there's like some poly people who claim to be queer.
it comes up on Twitter all the time.
Yeah, and it's like a weird gray area because a lot of people who are poly are queer also, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this might get me in trouble and this will be the last thing that I probably say, but I do think that there is something maybe like queer adjacent to choosing to live a non-traditional life that like rejects all of the comforts of ritual and tradition and takes the risk of losing all of those comforts forever, literally, you know, and like dying alone and all those things that everybody fears.
Well, you know, that last episode,
like, we're not normal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not quote normal, so I'm not claiming to be like an LGBTQ person, even though I'm not straight, but like, I also don't,
There should be new words for this sort of stuff. Because what people get mad about is they're like, well, you're using a word and that means something else or whatever. But like,
for you, yeah.
You know, that last episode we did, we were talking about secretary and stuff. I was kind of like angry. I was working through something. I listened to it and I was like, I'm so fucking mad on this mic or whatever. But like, what I was talking about was, there's the thing I was frustrated with was something similar to what you're talking about. I think there need to be like two entirely new phrases or words or whatever for what we're talking about. Because like, a lot of what I'm describing is pain and alienation from a thing that isn't necessarily like queerness as it is known with that word, with all that the word encompasses, but it's a similar experience. And what's annoying is when people go, well, you don't check specifically this box, so I'm not going to respect your alienation and your pain. I'm like, I don't want that. I just want the respect and like the empathy or whatever. So there needs to be a different fucking word, you know? And I mean, also for the stuff we're talking about, where like, yeah, like there's no way to explain, there's no word for explaining like, well, I'm poly, like I just am choosing to live a life, you know, like a hipster or whatever. I mean, the reason
I tell you, it's not even the choosing thing, Jake, it's the driving motivations, right? I think that's the thing. And I think one of the things, I don't know. And it's weird to discuss it on this public one because a lot of people who are listening to this probably didn't hear the Patreon one. But I listened to it too, and that's part of the reason that I didn't want to come here interrupting today was because I felt like you had more to say in that last episode and I maybe like stopped you from doing it. But part of the thing with that I think I was trying to say to you is that the I don't know. What were you going to say before? Because I just fucking totally blanked because I was trying to like figure out.
I was talking about how there need to be new phrases for like the
new phrases,
alienation and the choosing to live differently and stuff like that. But if it's outside of what we have as, because people on the internet are always like, straight people try to call themselves queer. It's like, no, it's not. You know, the thing, the reason I got so like kind of worked up on that episode is because you are like one of the most like-minded people that I have in my life. But there's still this fucking thing, I think, sometimes when I talk about specifically what I was talking about with, like, being a weird, like, guy who's on the edge of the Kinsey scale and, like, kink and shit like that, but straight, which is that when you're a guy, there is still the terror of, like toxic masculinity and patriarchy reigning over you. And so sometimes when you talk about that to women, they're like, what's the big deal? Just go have fun. Just go meet someone on an app and have fun. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, literally, it's the first person I met tried to, like, rob me because they knew that there's social control over this.
That is insane that you are saying that to me, a woman, right now. Because literally going out to explore your kinks as a woman is going out to meet a stranger and being like, yes, you can bite me. Yes, you can tie me up to these poles. Yeah, I'll trust you to fucking stick that thing in. Like, what are you talking about? We could literally be murdered every time and we have to figure out how to explore our sexuality and what we like and how to communicate it in the context of not only could this person rape and murder us, but A, after it happens, nobody will believe us. People will judge us if they find out any of this. We will not be wife material, right? People love to say that. We won't fucking be able to get a respectable job. We both exist in it. I would even say to you that maybe your point is, in my opinion, that most people don't recognize.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I recognize everything you just said. Yeah. What I am so fucking pissed off about all the time is that I'm like, that I don't feel heard. And it feels, it's a very human pain to not feel heard and be told constantly, don't say that. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not denying anything you're saying.
No, exactly. No, I know. And I think that I'm trying to remember the thing that I was going to tell you, but it's basically like, because I know their disconnect was in that you were trying to tell me about like behaviors and activities, let's call them, that you enjoy and the things that you that serve a need for you. And I was trying to point out to you that you should identify those needs, but then see that your relationships shouldn't be based on whether or not people can provide those specific needs for you, but whether or not they see you as a person and then want to fulfill your needs, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do think that was the disconnect because I listened to it and it's like, it seems like I'm dismissing your experience and I'm not. I'm trying to say like, even my exploration of it and shit was that feeling of like, or what I tried to say to you of like, I consider myself a feminist woman and a fucking authoritative person in all aspects of my life. And then to have to question whether like stepping into a submissive role was, ooh, look at me, reifying patriarchy and misogyny, you know, and like even internalized misogyny. Yeah, exactly. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, point is, I thought it was a good conversation. I think
it was. I'm sorry. If I got mad, I'm sorry. Through,
no, it was good. I think what it came through is that it's not easy for either one of us to share because it's not easy for anybody to share it. That's the whole point, I think. And at least my point was like, or the reason I want to have these conversations with you and share them with people is because I do believe in this decompartmentalizing your personality, persona, identity, ego. Like, I don't know what to call it, whatever you want to call it. I think we should be aiming to be a singular whole person. I hate it when people are like, oh, I'm looking for my other half. Like, what are you, a half a motherfucker walking around looking for somebody to complete you? That's disgusting. Get the fuck away from me. I am trying my hardest in my lifetime to be a whole, complete human who accepts all sides of herself, who doesn't hide one part of herself with shame, who doesn't pretend to be one person in front of her parents and in front of a job, and you know what I mean? And then I would like to find a partner or partners, it doesn't have to be one or the other, it could be one or more, that also look at life that way. So ultimately, that's what I mean, is that it's not about, like, I need, any of us need certain acts or any of that. Oh, that, I just remembered what I was going to tell you. Which is even not even about you. It made me think about, honestly, friends of mine, women who date comics, a bunch of people. This whole thing, this whole idea of like, oh, I can change him, right? We all know that that's stupid and bad, right? Nobody can change another person and fix them. But I think we don't really know it, Jake. Like, people believe these ideas of like love and relationships are compromised and you have to adapt to the other person. But there are things that are not compromisable. If you, I don't know that that's a word, but you get what I mean.
Sure.
If you, what you should do, and I feel like recent friends and recent relationships around me have been this, it has been A and B like each other, connect with each other, would like to have a relationship, and then they realize that they have different views on the world and relationships and how things should go. And then they spend another 6 months trying to force the other side to see it the way that they want to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of, I'm sorry, but realizing this is not the person for you. No matter how much you like them, that is not the person for you. You shouldn't be trying to be like chemistry, blah, 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 connect, and then try to get this other person to live their life and their worldview like you. Or even worse, you give up your worldview for them, right? Because I think that's disgusting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And then instead it should be find another person that sees the world like you do, that loves you because you see the world like them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to explain it. And it's crazy to me that as like a freewheeling, like I have so many relationships going in and out and, you know, like open and all this stuff, that I have to say to monogamous people who are literally looking for their stupid lobster to stay with forever. You know, I'm like, you're doing it wrong, idiot. Like, I'm like, if you really want one lobster forever, this is how you need to do it.
Yeah,
not the stupid way that you're doing it.
Yeah, you should be really careful with who you pick.
Exactly.
If you're like,
you should be picking a worldview match.
I don't know how that doesn't stress people out. That the finality of dating somebody like monogamously, yeah, like that, it stresses me out so much, because you're just like, for real, this, yeah, you just want to do this for like ever and never know if your life could be better or anything like that. It's crazy. Mm. You know,
well, speaking divorce.
of relationships, did you watch the Phantom Thread?
I did. Because somebody wrote to us and was like, you guys shouldn't watch Secretary, you should watch Phantom Thread. Jake, I hated it.
Oh, really?
I did think it was funny.
Yeah, the ending is so funny.
It's super funny.
It's not supposed to be.
Supposed to be, but it's like the lobster, actually, which I think is not supposed to be funny. But I told you that I went to see it with Trey, and we were laughing in the theater, like full on, like losing our shit laughing, and yeah, people were turning around being like, ugh, shh. And we were like, are you kidding me? Do you not see how fucking hilarious?
The lobster seemed like more like it was kind of, I would even say it might have been like labeled on Netflix as like a black comedy,
right?
Or something
I think
like that.
So too. Yeah.
But the Phantom Thread is a drama, and it is just, it's very similar to like the Secretary thing in that, like, spoiler alert, if anyone hasn't seen the Phantom Thread, what's his face's last movie? But, it's just like this crazy long story, and there's all these themes and metaphors driven about this guy who makes, what's the word? He's like a tailor or a seamster or whatever the fuck, makes dresses and shit.
Yeah.
He's this long romance with this woman, and they have all these weird like control dynamics, and then at the end of it, it just, suddenly they just,
she poisons him.
She poisons him, and then he loves it, and he's like,
yeah, and he's like, hot, I'm gonna eat the poison omelet. Kiss me before I pass out. Like,
and they
ugh.
Develop this weird like nightingale thing where she poisons him and then takes care of
nurses
him,
nurses him back to health.
But it's honestly the same as Secretary, because it's like the ending is like, and they're a married couple.
And they live happily ever after.
It's not,
I hated it so much, because to be honest with you, maybe it's because of the time setting, you know, because I think Phantom Thread is what, like the 1800s, 1900s, but or like early
1900s. Period piece, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a period piece. And secretary is like 90s or 80s, right?
90s, I think.
90s, okay. Yeah. So to me, this secretary felt a little bit more like it was exploring the demons of individuals. You know what I mean? Because it was about both Maggie Gyllenhaal and Vader, whatever his name is, their own internal demons, and then how those were seen by another person, and you know how they developed a codependent fucking thing that they turned into a Thread thing. But in Phantom Thread, it to me felt more like, ugh, like gross, because it was more of a reflection of a traditional male-female patriarchal relationship. Because she, remember that in Secretary, Spader and Gyllenhaal discover their true selves, right? But it's, they don't cross over to the other side, right? So Spader further develops his Dom side, and Gyllenhaal further develops her sub side. But in Phantom Thread, here's this dominant man who must control everything in his life, and this submissive woman who literally for 90% of the fucking movie is being like his fucking bitch, you know, and like being like, oh yeah, totally, whatever. And then out of her fucking psychotic rage, she decides to poison him one day because he wasn't nice to her. And once he realizes she's poisoning him, he turns into a sub. You know what I mean? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's really hot. You dommed me by poisoning me? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? That is, like, toxic patriarchy shit. You know what I mean? It's not entering into something consciously. It's, like, 1 degree away from, what's it called when you make somebody sick to get attention? You know what I'm talking about.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's totally what's going on.
And there's
movie.
One by proxy also.
I don't know what the word you're talking about, but I know what you're talking about. I don't know the word.
Yeah, so it's two diseases. One where you make yourself sick on purpose to get attention, and then by proxy is the one where you make somebody else sick so that you're getting attention as their caregiver, basically, and their hero. And so that now, like, if people want to doubt whether or not Secretary crosses into, like, psychological disorders, it's a gray area. You can't really say so, you know? Like, Maggie, maybe with the self-hurt stuff and all that stuff, but poisoning someone, you're a goddamn psychotic murderer. Like, what are you talking about? This is so bad. It's a horrible representation of, like, women and men. Like, it's bad. It's so bad.
Well, I think that both of these movies suffer under the fact that they are a movie, and what is going on here is, like, you could write a movie where people sort of have a healthy relationship and they figure it out in a healthy way. The problem with telling a story like that is that if you're being that socially conscious and telling a story, you might be making propaganda and not a story, you know?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you might be leaning closer to, like, pornography when you are, like, not really... If you lose the thread of the humanity in the middle of it, because, like, what is pornography? Pornography is the opposite of that. This is something that, God, what's his name? The fucking Camus guy. Not him.
Sartre.
The guy who Dan Harmon stole all his shit from. Name's escaping me. Joseph Campbell. This is a Joseph Campbell thing. He puts all stories on a spectrum between propaganda and pornography, right? And so, like, propaganda would be a story that's like, you know, here's John and Jillian and they met like this and you should meet like that. It's like too prescriptive and has no soul in it. But pornography is like a thing where, like, you watch it and you're like, I want the opposite of a good social message. I want only the fucking thing that makes me feel something to come out of this. And so, you know, when porn isn't woke is what I'm saying. Like, it's like, it is a guy spanking his secretary and shit half the time. Like, it's like,
but it's still prescriptive.
Kind of, yeah.
Look at all the young people that can't fuck right because they've only watched porn forever.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is, right? But, I guess so. This, like, a story like this, it kind of is like both of them. I'm like, well, if you woked them up a little bit and you made them into stories where the people had healthier relationships, you might lose some of what made it what it was. I guess is my defense of them, like, because in Phantom Thread at the, like, when that moment when she's like, yeah, I will, you fucking eat this omelet or whatever, and then she just has that weird, like, line of dialogue or whatever where she's like, I want you on your back and all this shit.
Yeah.
So what I got from it storytelling wise is, like, this is a big reveal about something that's been happening under the surface that these people both understand, and now it's like coming into reality, and it, because it's a story that's being told, oh, big fucking climactic thing or whatever. But that is supposed to serve as a metaphor for developing a relationship that is weird like this, I guess.
I don't know. I hated it because I thought it was really like adjacent to somebody trying to change the person that they're with and being like she only quote discovered. Dude, it's not real domination if what you're doing is like literally physically impairing a person through poison. Are you kidding me? That's not a fucking psychological sexual game. That's fucking poisoning you. Like, that's insane. And it's something that she did only out of desperation when she got to the point where she felt like he didn't love her and he wasn't paying attention to her. And literally, she poisons him twice in the movie, right? And the first time it happens is before they're married. And he started ignoring her and he was paying attention to some princess or some shit that he was making a dress for. So she made a tea for him that poisoned him and he passed out when he was making the dress.
Was it like accidental the first time or something?
Yeah. No, okay. It wasn't accidental. Oh, okay. It was purpose. Okay. It's that he didn't know. So she was mad. Like she...
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah, like he was like ignoring her basically. Like he kept her in his house, but the whole time he's being a dick to her. She made dinner for him and then he's like, you made the asparagus wrong, you know, like all that shit. Basically like stepping on her as much as possible every time he got a chance, and she gets really mad about it, and what she does is read a book about poisonous mushrooms and then scrape the fucking mushrooms into his tea. He drinks the tea and then while he's working he passes out, and then the other people that work with him are like, we have to call a doctor, and she's like, no, he's fine, trust me, I'll take care of him, because she fucking poisoned him. So she's like, okay, so she takes care of him, he gets better. Jake, he trips balls, right? Because it's mushrooms.
Yeah.
So he goes through a whole fucking tripping ball shit. And then he comes out of it and he's like, I love you. We should get married. You know, like, you stupid bitch. You want this dude who just like literally had an out-of-body experience on psychedelics. And that's why he thinks you saved his life and you should marry him. So they get married and then you watch, right? Their married life is like progressively. Like, that's why you say it's like a slow movie. But they get married at this high point of he's so happy and she's so happy because he loves her, but it's because she fucking poisoned him with mushrooms. And then progressively they go to like events and he is like embarrassed by her and the things she says. She's annoyed that he doesn't want to dance. A friend of his makes a comment about how she's rude. Like, it's just progressively things of like, he returns to hating how she makes asparagus. She keeps making the asparagus the way that he doesn't like it. Like, it just becomes this picture of a very typical traditional marriage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you keep staying together, but you keep needling at each other in these hateful ways, right? And then they're in the middle of hating each other. And she has the realization of like, the way to fix this is to poison him again. So then he will go back to this moment of he loves me and I saved his life, right? So she makes the omelet and she makes eye contact with him as she puts the fucking mushrooms into the thing. And then serves it to him, and then he looks at it, like, and I don't know how he
staring at her and eating it.
Yeah, but he fucking is like, okay, she's doing it on purpose, so he starts eating the fucking mushroom.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, I want you on your back and whatever, and it becomes this like sexy thing where I'm like, wait a minute, is she talking about fucking him? And then I realize I'm like, oh no, she's talking about like, I want you weak and needing me,
yeah,
and crying and pleading for your life, and me to be your only source of life. Jake, that is toxic, disgusting shit. That is horrible. It's horrible. That is not the kind of relationship anybody should ever be fucking aiming for. It's not kinky. It's not hot. Like, I hated it. I was like, oh, I hope you both die. You deserve each other.
I mean, I thought it was kind of hot, but that's because I didn't want to actually do that. I thought it was like, I'm watching a movie and this is a fantastical thing. And I think that like something to keep in mind here is that, you know, a movie is not like prescriptive in a really literal sense. And so, I mean, there's this thing sometimes where like, you know, people would get mad that like characters were like raped on Game of Thrones and stuff like that. It's like, what do you think the story is here? It's not that they're good people. It's just, it's this fantastical thing. And like, honestly, I think I figured it out. I was thinking about this last week in regards to like Secretary. There is a dialectical nature to things that make things inclusive. I really figured it out when I was listening to my friends talk about autism as a label, because they did a podcast about how it's like maybe not even real. And somebody said something really interesting. I think that's really what's going on here, which is a label becomes useful until it becomes a cage, right? And so with these movies, the reason that they're good, the reason that telling stories like this are good, is because it makes people who feel this sort of stuff and don't have a reference point for it all of a sudden feel less alienated. But there's a tipping point where, and I think that Secretary, since it's old and Phantom Thread has no excuse,
it's crossed it.
And it's now, we need a new story to update this thing, because what it did is it made a lot of people feel normal, but now that's the problem. And now progress needs to keep happening or whatever.
But Jake, but this is the problem. This is where I think there's a disconnect for me. I agree with you that Secretary falls into what you're saying, because Secretary was presenting a thing that people hadn't seen before, maybe, that made them feel like it's okay. They were talking about, like, an alternative kind of life, right? Like a non-traditional, this doesn't normally get represented kind of life.
Yeah.
But Phantom Thread was presenting the most toxic version of traditionalism.
Oh, yeah. The whole time I was watching
this
movie,
it was not about an alt-life. It was not about a dom-sub relationship. No, it was not about people self-discovering and fucking... Dude, there's nothing that is salvageable about Phantom Thread. It's 100% being like, what is the craziest extent that, like, monogamy traditionalism goes to?
Yeah, it's that.
It's that version of poisoning each other, of wanting to destroy each other, of hating each other across the dinner table, but being unable to walk away from each other. That's disgusting, dude.
Yeah, no, it's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's a horror movie to me.
No, it kind of is. Well, I mean, honestly, when I was watching it, I was like, especially when it got to that climax, I was just like, why? The word that why was just going through my head. Like, what does this movie mean? Like, what is it supposed to mean? And I don't think it accomplishes anything really that interesting. I mean, maybe interesting. No. Maybe just...
in a window. Like, gives you a window into it.
Maybe just... it's just an interesting story. It's just one of those things. But it doesn't seem like it reflects anything about the world in any meaningful way to me.
Yeah.
I guess I thought it was kind of funny.
I know, and that's what the guy that emailed it to us said. But I do think it reflects something about the world. It reflects... dude, it's a monster movie about traditional monogamy.
Okay. Well, then, isn't it cool, then, if we understand it that way?
That it's, I guess, like, a but I think a lot of people read it as, like, a fucking romance and shit, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, but God, you can't get caught
so
in that.
Toxic and disgusting.
You can't worry about what other people read something as, you know?
I can.
That's when you get into
that's
every...
that's my whole job, Jake.
You know, these fucking people... like, that are like, every movie should be Wonder Woman, and like, fuck, you know, any nuance is like, oh, it could be misread by the wrong people and promote the people that, okay, listen, we both like the Joker, right? People hated the Joker because they were like, what if it could be misread? And people use the word like glorifying. Oh, it's glorifying him. It's like, it's not glorifying him, it's reflecting him.
Totally. But there's a difference between being like fake outraged on behalf of somebody might read into this the wrong way and being actually upset that people are reading into this the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like Breaking Bad, people fucking mostly read into it the wrong way. Like, all these, there's a lot of things that artists intended a certain way, and the way that your audience received it is not the way that they fucking you intended. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That matters and is a thing. And that's, and what I'm saying is Phantom Thread, it was intended as a criticism, not necessarily as a horror film. I think as a horror, as an extreme representation of traditionalism and like these female male roles and what your future is. Because think about The Sister. Dude, that was like a scathing representation of a spinster, right? Of like what happens to a woman if you spend your life having a business and achieving a goal and having a career and being good at something. But, oh, she's a great seamstress and a great designer, but she spent all her life touching wedding dresses, and that's bad luck, and that's what fucking made her a forever spinster. You know, like, it's, the whole fucking movie is about amplifying the really fucked up roles that traditionalism puts us into. And a bunch of people read it as like, oh, they're discovering their kinks. Get the fuck out of here. Are you crazy? That's like being like some dude's kink is having his wife make him dinner at 6 on the dot. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, here's what I want. Anyone listening to this who is yelling at your car stereo right now or whatever, because here's the thing. That was a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. he has a vision in his films, I think. I don't think I really understand what Paul Thomas Anderson is all about. So someone who is like a PTA head, please email us and tell us what we're not seeing or whatever about this. Because I'm genuinely baffled. I've laughed out loud at the end.
All right, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
We also should not do a bonus episode. I know you have another podcast to do now. But for the next bonus, I have another blind item that I want to talk about.
Cool.
It's a thing that's been going around, and I want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. But in the meantime, if you want to email us at whyyoumadpod@gmail.com for the next Why You Mad mailbag and shit like that, do that. Join us at patreon.com for the extra episodes. Jake, you want to plug anything?
Check your inbox, everyone. If you're friends with me on social media and you want to see my dick,
it might be in your inbox right now.
Check the other inbox because it's a weird bot account or something. Yeah, I don't know. Pod Damn America, that's it.
All right, yeah. Oh, for me, my first show in New York. Oh, so this is something, Jake, I wanted to tell you about is, so you know where the venue is for my new show, huh?
No, I don't.
It's Asylum NYC, which is, so there's in Boston, there's a venue called Improv Asylum.
Okay. Right?
And the owners of that have taken over the UCB Chelsea space, the one that's like behind the Christie's, you know, in Chelsea. And they remodeled it and they are calling it Asylum NYC because it's not going to be an improv theater. It's going to be part improv and part stand-up, different nights for the different types. And it holds, you know, for anybody that's been in the Chelsea UCB, it holds like about 150 people or so. And we're opening up just with 50 tickets. It's like at 33%. It's going to be well distanced. It's not a tiny place. And it's really beautiful, and I'm really excited for that. So we'll announce our first lineup. The first show is May 13th, and we'll announce our first lineup, I think, by the end of this week. So follow us at Casual Sets NYC on Twitter, because I'm not going to make any other social media for this show, and you'll see the info there. I would love to see you.
All right. Well, that sounds exciting. I'll try to come out and catch a show.
Yeah, come and hang.
Cool. All right. That's it.
Bye.
Bye. It's finished.